Hello, everyone, and welcome to Diversify Her Podcast. I'm your host, Raven Hayward, and today I'm with Mrs. Shantae Kinch. Shantae Kinch, a mastermind in problem-solving and celebrated speaker, brings over 20 years of expertise in engineering, innovative solutions in healthcare, aerospace, and beyond as the founder and CEO of Impact Global. Her extensive background includes a master's in mechanical engineering and notable certifications in lean practice, project management, and systems engineering, all contributing to her strategic prowess in revolutionizing operational efficiencies and innovating in government to education. Her tenures at Stanford Hospital and UCLA Health System were marked by profound enhancements in clinical quality and patient satisfaction, solidifying her stance as a transformative force in healthcare. Kinch's work notably extends beyond conventional strategies, championing equitable access to quality care through the astute integration of AI and a deep understanding of social health determinants. At Impact Global, she merges empathy with innovation to tackle formidable societal issues, reflecting her commitment not to just incremental improvements, but industry-wide revolutions through collaborative problem-solving. She applies these skills as an innovation architect with NASA, enabling them to identify and tackle problems worth solving. Her leadership excellence has been recognized with Profiles in Diversity Black Leadership Award and the 2020 Working Mother of the Year, continuing to inspire global change and affirming that with empathy and ingenuity, even the most monumental challenges can be conquered. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mrs. Kinch. I'm honored to have you on my podcast. I would love for you to start off by telling us a little bit more about your journey as to how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm Shantae Kinch. I am a 46-year-old that views everything in life as an experiment. I think that's really important because it gives me permission to try things and not necessarily get it right and not feel down if something doesn't work out like I want to, because at the end of the day, I'm learning. I'm constantly learning what makes sense, what to do. As a daughter of a science teacher, I fell in love with the scientific method at an early age. My mother instilled strong spiritual values in me, so I'm very comfortable leaning on my faith because logic will fail you at times. I'm the wife to a proud West Indian and a mom to 3 kids, 4 dogs and 7 fish. How'd I get to where I am professionally, besides the child-rearing part of me? I started my career designing aircraft carriers. 20 years ago, I received my first certifications in Lean and Six Sigma, which are 2 improvement methodologies. I was then recruited to work for Boeing, improving their support services like IT, HR, and facilities. And then in the early, mid-2000s, healthcare took an interest in Lean, and they started recruiting outside experts. And I was one of those lucky people. I led Lean improvements at UCLA and Stanford Health Systems, where I learned design thinking prior to joining a Lean healthcare consultancy. Last year, I ventured out on my own to start Impact Global, a problem-solving and innovation firm that enables education, social, environmental, and health organizations to improve equity and access, ultimately leading to better health outcomes and a safer world. I did this and ventured out on my own and bet on myself through a frustration with performative DEI practices and a yearning to create a space for mid-sized organizations to access the value and innovative thinking of diverse management consultants without the ginormous price tag.
Wow. It's a lot that you just told us right there. Even back from you growing up, you mentioned that you fell in love with the scientific method. Can you take us back up? I guess in that moment, you know, being a brown girl wanting to go into mechanical engineering, how was that? And were there ever moments where you may have gotten imposter syndrome? That's a term that we use a lot. When you were in that space back in college and even early in your career, is there one thing that you wish you would have known as you began it?
Absolutely. The idea of imposter syndrome actually encouraged me to become an engineer. Excuse me. I am motivated by challenge. And one day someone said, people like you aren't engineers. And that was the day I decided to become one. So that was the impetus, was someone thinking I wasn't supposed to be in that space. What I wish I knew at the beginning of my career, I wish I knew that where you start doesn't have to be where you end, and that I wasn't settling. Right when I was graduating college, I experienced a very close death. And instead of moving across the country to a dream job in the medical industry, I decided to stay local, and I worked at Newport News Shipbuilding. I wasn't excited about the job because I wanted to be in the medical industry. I had already accepted an offer at a wonderful place. But, you know, life, you know, throws at you what it throws at you. And so, you know, my boss didn't know I wasn't excited about that job, but I showed up every day. I gave my best regardless. I was promoted every year. And that laid the foundation for where I am today. Everything came full circle. I ended up back in healthcare. but back then I didn't trust that. You know, I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm going to be stuck in this industry forever. And so I hope this encourages someone that you may feel thrown off track due to life circumstances, might feel like, you know, some things are out of your control, but trust the journey and know that trains can change tracks.
Yes, I think that's something that's very important, especially a term that I grew up learning in elementary school was growth mindset. And it teaches you to be flexible and also be prepared and learning how to make from your mistakes. And I think that that's very important, especially in today's society with how we're evolving, especially with artificial intelligence and how that could potentially impact the workforce in all fields, whether it's healthcare or business, just in all fields. You know, we don't know what exactly is going to happen next. So understanding to kind of go along with the journey. And I want to get into your experience in strategic leadership. And I want to know, what does strategic leadership play in driving real change, especially in industries as complex as healthcare and government?
Leadership makes or breaks an organization's vitality. The leadership will decide if the C-suite is homogeneous or diverse. that diversity at the top will determine how people are sponsored and promoted and what the organization looks and feels like. Additionally, right now we're in a major technological transformation. Leaders are making decisions today that will determine if their organizations will survive and thrive tomorrow. Leaders create the atmosphere in their organization that determines if new ideas grow there or if they're never even heard. Leaders foster the culture where free thinkers are allowed to try new things and failure isn't seen as negative, like you said, that growth mindset. Or if people with great ideas go innovate somewhere else. Innovation is best born in environments where challenge is celebrated and expected, and that is fostered by the leadership. They decide if they want to create an internal innovation engine or focus on their core competency and get outside support to ensure they're ready for the future, or if they don't innovate at all. So I think it's critical.
Right. It sounds very critical. It's a key piece because it's internal, sort of, that's playing out with everything else. I'm curious to know your opinion on, with these different leaders, with your past experience in your companies, do you feel that they were truly diverse? And if not, what do you think could have been changed? I heard you earlier, you used the term performative diversity. And for my listeners who may not know exactly what that is, could you give some insight into what that is and kind of what that looks like?
Sure. Performative diversity. Well, a few years ago, after everything happened with George Floyd, organizations all over started publishing their stance on diversity. diversity, equity, and inclusion. If they didn't already have it, a lot of them started hiring chief diversity officers, and their business resource groups or different groups based on minority demographics were stood up, or they just ended up getting a lot more attention in the organizations. Performative is where the organizations talk and publish about these things, but there's no evidence of them actually moving the dial on what they say they're trying to do. A lot of times, their goals have to do with hiring, recruiting, promoting diverse candidates. It could be with contracting with diverse suppliers and vendors. And, you know, a lot of times what you'll end up seeing is, yeah, maybe to move the dial and show the metrics are changing. You know, at the entry level, you'll see a lot, some hires and see the dial moving a little bit. But I'm looking at the C-suite. What does the leadership team look like? Every time I go to a website, I'm clicking on About Us, leadership team. And what does it look like? Where are they from? and, you know, sometimes, you know, people will often be, you know, come from the same areas, same previous organizations, a little bit of hidden nepotism. And that creates very homogeneous thinking. The problem with that, besides a lack of diversity, is there's not a lot of challenge when everybody thinks the same. And challenge is really important for innovation and to become different, to be better, is really different. It's different. So that's what performative DEI is.
Thank you for that explanation. And you kind of touched on pretty much why I started my podcast, or at least how it came to be, because my junior year in high school, I did an AP research course where I researched how companies' D&I policies were impacting women of color, specifically in North Carolina. And the whole reason I knew about companies' D&I policies or statements was because of the events that happened in 2020 with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And I wanted to know if they were talking about it in the workplace, and from there, if they were doing anything about it. And performative diversity came up where they felt they were kind of putting a Band-Aid over a bullet hole, essentially. They put out a statement, they maybe did one or two trainings, and that was sort of it. And even now, in articles that I'm reading, and I'm taking a course right now in my business school called Diversity and Inclusion at the Workplace, where they're deciding if these roles that they created since 2020 will even exist in 5 years, because now the shift is towards more inclusivity that they want to talk about, not necessarily diversity and equity, but we want to talk about inclusivity, which is important, but you're missing those key components of also having diversity and inclusion. So with you, with your backgrounds in mechanical engineering, as well as defense, healthcare, and now entrepreneurship, with you starting your own company, Impact Global, I want to know, how have these diverse skills shaped your approach to problem solving leadership?
Yes, I'll have a couple of things. I want to go back just a minute to something you were talking about. A lot of times these groups that are set up in organizations, like I said, their missions might be around, you know, promoting and hiring and things like that. But when you really look at it, they don't, and some organizations have any operational responsibility or accountability or levers to actually make any of that happen. You know, it's a little more social. It's a little more like, hey, let's get together and have happy hour, or let's host what's happening for Black History Month and have a movie night, or, you know, things like that, which are great and you need culture and you need to feel included and belonging. But is that moving the dial. You know, we really need to think about what can we really, really, really do. Getting to the diversity of my background, I think it's really important. Diverse backgrounds lead to less bias. Because I'm trained in lean, design thinking, Six Sigma foresight, and traditional engineer methods, I don't approach a problem with a set solution in mind. People that know one method often tend to apply that method to any problem. So how has this impacted my leadership? I've been exposed to many different leadership styles, and every individual leader is different, but there's also industry differences. I saw extreme differences in leadership from outside industry, meaning like Northrop Grumman and Boeing, to what leadership was like in healthcare. Drastically different. Some reward for performance and outcomes, and others you saw reward based on relationship. I believe that the diversity of my background has allowed me to balance these two, because I think both are important. And I'm now comfortable whether I'm talking to a mission director in a government agency, a military leader, or community-based organization or hospital manager. I'm able to flex and understand their needs and how to approach them and what matters to them a little bit differently. So I think diversity and background is really valuable.
Yes. And I love what you said about how having a diverse background helps to eliminate bias. I think that's something that's a golden nugget right there with our bias. And whether it's implicit or not, everyone is biased, whether you're intentionally trying to do it or not. And effectively knowing how to use or not use that bias in certain situations, I think, is very important. And I understand go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I should have said reduce bias, because like you said, you can't really eliminate it because it's innate in us. So reduce bias. Sorry.
No, you're good. And I wanted to say, I understand that you're on a mission to globally impact equity, accessibility, and outcomes. And for Gen Z, what steps do you believe that we can take to contribute to the global solutions, whether that's for health, education, societal, or environmental challenges?
Yeah, there's some things about Gen Z that I really love and admire. And I think that you all are position to be more successful with having a global impact already based on some of the traits of Gen Zers. And every generation has a range of behaviors. No generation is monolithic. But with the things that kind of characterize Gen Zs, you know, you're more global already. You travel more. You don't mind moving. You are comfortable setting boundaries. I think, you know, there are more Gen Zers that are comfortable, that have experienced therapy than other generations. And through that, you've learned about boundary setting and things like that. And you're very comfortable in digital spaces. Digitization is going to catapult globalization. You all care about fairness. And I believe that those things combined will help you all lead democratization and ownership of information and ideas. That's going to enable equity and economic mobility. I think you all will challenge capitalism. And I'm not saying capitalism is a bad thing or a good thing, but I believe it's going to look different after Gen Z gets done with it. Your comfort with digitization and openness to diversity is going to lead to bigger and more impactful networks. And that's going to lead to the global solutions. Good solutions aren't created in isolation or with homogeneous groups. So the fact that you all are digital, you all have a global mindset, and you're able to set boundaries to protect yourself, is setting you up for success.
Mm-hmm. I think that with our generation, we definitely have the tool set, I will say. But something that I'm kind of curious and I would like your guidance on, you mentioned this earlier with how you lean heavily a lot on your faith. And for a lot of us in Gen Z, well, I don't want to speak for all of us, so I can speak for myself, I guess, is knowing when's the right moment to sort of make your move. I understand that from Impact Global, that's something that you branched off and you started on your own. So how did you know in that moment when it was right? And I guess to put things in my perspective, whenever I am on that journey in my job or whatever field I end up going into, what advice would you say is when I can know that it's my right moment to know how to navigate something?
I don't know that people know for sure 100% that any moment is right. But I do believe that people feel an internal tugging. And you have to trust yourself, trust your gut, trust that voice. That voice for some people is their faith. It might be, it's God. For other people, it's, you know, some people may say it's the universe, you know, whatever it is, but for you, but there was a pulling in me that said, I can't be here anymore. And the other thing that's very tangible when I've left organizations was I wasn't learning anymore. When I get to a place and I feel like I have learned all I can learn here, it's absolutely time for me to go, because learning is important. I want to continuously be learning through life. And so I need to move to learn something new, to stretch myself, to be uncomfortable. If I get too comfortable, okay, maybe it's time to go. For some people, that is what they want. They want to get to a place of comfort. So me enjoying being in that, right at the edge of discomfort, that is for me. That may not be for everyone, but for me, moving is a two things. One is tangible and logical, and it's based on I have learned what I can learn at this organization, and two, it's more faith-based, and there's a tugging, a feeling inside that's saying it's time to go. And I'm going to have to just take a leap and believe and see what happens. I don't believe every time I've been scared, nothing happened so bad that I ever regretted it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you just got to jump. Sometimes you just got to jump and see what happens. but have a plan, have a safety net, mm-hmm. but I would be more disappointed if I never tried something versus if I tried and I failed. Mm-hmm. Because in the failure, I'm learning and now I know what to do.
Mm-hmm. So. I think that makes a great point. I can speak for myself when I say this. It's obvious that in the past, I think those who were able to kind of take more leaps of faith in general were white men, just because they were more comfortable with the roles that they had. And for my listeners who, like me, eventually want to be mothers one day in our field, how would you say that you being a Black woman and also a mother impacted the choices that you made? And if they did even impact the choices that you made, with you saying, you know, sometimes you just have to jump, how would you say you were able to, I guess, get to that point where you knew that no matter what choice you made, you'd sort of be good whether or not you failed?
Yeah. When you're supporting family and it's not just you as an individual, it's important to have a support system. And so, you know, I talked to my husband when I had this idea, hey, I think I want to leave corporate, start my own thing. This is super risky. He's a little less risk averse. He's more risk averse than I am. And so I didn't expect him to be as supportive as he was. And he instantly said, go for it. And he said, if anybody believes in you, I do. And right then he went and, started helping me, get a website set up and with some IT support stuff that I needed. And that told me that he had confidence in me. And that support system around me enabled me to even believe in myself a little bit more. And there are tangible things that you need to make sure you do. I did research. How much money do I need saved? Where am I going to get this from? So I had some things set up in the background to make sure that if this doesn't go the way I want, I know how the bills will get paid. And then at the end of the day, it was, if this doesn't work, I'll just go get a job again. Go back and get a job. And so, but I had to try. I had to try. And so once I knew that, one, I had the support of my family. Two, I had a financial backup plan. If I'm not able to bring in revenue, I know where I can pull money to pay bills for a little while. And three, if it all fails, I'll just get a job. And he actually helped remind me of that. So I knew that they would be okay. And it's also really, really, really important to me to model for my kids trying things, to model courage, to model go for it, to model you can do anything you want. You can be all the things. At the same time, balancing that with you can have everything and not have to do everything. I'm not trying to create burnout in my kids. I'm not trying to put pressure on them to have to do everything. I am trying to be everything, but I'm not trying to do it all, if that makes any sense. I'm going to outsource what I can. I'm going to get help where I can. And I'm going to have support where I can, because I don't have unlimited time and energy, but I do have interest and a desire to make a remarkable mark on this world.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love how you mentioned it's okay to outsource and also lean on others for help. I think sometimes we think we have to do it all ourselves, or it's always all on us. And it's important that we understand it is important that you build those relationships and you have those who can help you and who can back you up, and you surround yourselves with people who are going to encourage you. And the last point that you made on talking about your children, it leads me into my next question. With what legacy do you hope to leave through your work?
Legacy is really important. I want to leave a legacy of lives improved, a workplace where people felt valued. And honestly, I want to shake up the whole entire management consulting industry. I'm expanding to include a digital agency that will be more accessible at a lower price point. And will include diverse input with the higher fidelity output. And so I think it's important to, set things up. I'm trying to be the change I want to see from the organization that I'm creating. And then personally, like I said, I really, really, really want to leave this legacy for my daughters, that they can do whatever they want. They can be whatever they want. Their train can change tracks as much as they want. They can have multiple trains on multiple tracks if they want. And if they don't want to be on a train at all, that's fine too. At the end of the day, I just want my legacy to be that I was a good person. I cared about people. And I was able to operationalize empathy and advance humanity.
I love that. I really do. And that just goes to show, we can make all the money in the world. We could do all these amazing things. But at the end of the day, it goes back to what kind of person you were. And was it with good intentions? And did you know that you did the very best that you could? And I just want to thank you again so much for coming on, dropping all these golden nuggets. I know I'm definitely leaving here knowing so much more than I came in knowing. And as we end this episode, I have a signature question on my podcast, which is, what's one piece of advice you would give Gen Z to go out and diversify themselves?
Oh, just one?
Or multiple, multiple. We'd love to have it.
Okay. I'll say travel. Go places you don't even know you're interested in going. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want, or ask for information you don't understand. Ask, so get so comfortable asking that no doesn't bother you. Ask the shadow roles you think you might be interested in, and do a lot of that so you understand what you don't like. Get outside of your circle. Spend time with different generations. Every generation has things that are great about them. And every generation is guaranteed to disappear. So soak up the knowledge before they're gone. Volunteer. This is going to grow your network and keep a sense of purpose, even when you're still trying to find your purpose. And most of all, stay curious. Stay curious. Actually, everything I said leads to curiosity. It all leads to curiosity. So stay curious, read, listen to podcasts, seek to understand, and every day reflect on, what did I learn today?
Those are some great pieces of advice. I hope you all listen to that. You take it seriously. I know I am. Thank you so much again for coming on the podcast. I'll make sure to have your LinkedIn and also your website in the description below. Everyone, please make sure to go connect with Mrs. Shante Kinch. Thank you again so much for coming on, and I'll catch you all next time on Diversify Her.